between the life we see and the world we dream, there are stories when they are told. Nightmares become imagination. So please.
Thomas, you aren't.
Hello to the guild. There are days that I think living with friendly ghosts wouldn't be so bad. Welcome to the Dim Light Anxiety Podcast. I am your terrific host, Giggles, and I am just so happy it's October. There are so many things I want to do. I feel like this is the first year since COVID that we are actually seeing more events going on, and I can't choose. Maybe if I had endless money, endless time, and endless spoons, I would visit them all. But for now, some things I will just have to imagine, and maybe write about. After all, nightmares are a terrible thing to waste. From Campy 2, is that blood dripping from the ceiling? Scary, I want to hear them all because your fucked up brains came up with them. Once that story is squeezed out of your brain, send it to me at dimlightanxiety@gmail.com. I am dying to know. What's your story? With scary stories on my mind, real shocker there, I have been dying to talk about what I have been watching this week. This is the week I start the Babysitter movies. If you haven't seen them, check it out now. I know you can at least find it on Netflix. It is a bunch of good-looking people slaying each other. But on top of those movies, I have been watching The Midnight Club and am obsessed. Of course I am. It's right up my alley. It's all about kids who get together to tell made-up stories, often spooky. It's kind of like Are You Afraid of the Dark's Midnight Society, except they are living together in a hospice center. It is so good. It is also on Netflix. I actually have a whole separate profile on my Netflix dedicated to my horror films / series just so they don't get lost in my main account. If you haven't guessed by now, I'm pretty obsessed with horror, especially people dipping into their own nightmares and presenting it as imagination. Creativity has always had a dark side. Speaking of dark sides, I want to talk about the lighter side of dark, friendly ghosts, because there are some good representations out there. It is definitely something to consider. I think I would be okay with one. Especially if it was like the one in the Angel series that lived with Cordelia. I don't know if you guys saw that at all, but, you know, just someone to look out for me and help me zip up my dress. I actually bought that entire series to watch with Buffy during September per my usual September ritual. Then I put them somewhere. And I can't seem to find it. Like, I have a small apartment, and it's not a small box. It's, like, you know, about the size of a shoe box. Maybe a little, I mean, no, it's pretty close to a shoe size box. So, there are really only so many places it could be. But, so far, I haven't found them in any of those places. Anyway, off my tangent and back to the point, we were talking about friendly ghosts, and honestly, this is why I would be okay with one, because maybe they could help me find the things I hide from myself. So far, my roommate is no better than I at it. Unfortunately, as we all know, not all ghosts are friendly. I wonder if today's author, who you can find on Reddit under the username BlueJade01, we'll write about the good ghost or an evil one. Let's start the story already to find out. Submitted for the approval of the guild with Dim Light Anxiety, I call this story The Tale of Marigold Manor. titled Welcome to Marigold Manor. I moved to Pinshaw City for a fresh start, a new beginning. At least that's what I told people when they asked. Really, I was running, hiding from my abusive ex-boyfriend, Jeremy. I'd believed his lies for far too long. You know the story. They apologize, beg for your forgiveness, and promise they'll never do it again. But they always do. It was right after I told him I was pregnant that he broke my nose for the second time. I thought he'd be happy, but instead, he accused me of cheating on him, and the baby couldn't possibly be his. That was the last straw for me. I waited for him to go to work, and then packed up everything I could fit into my little two-door hatchback and hit the road. I didn't have any other family and not a lot of money, but I found a run-down hotel in Pinshaw City that was in my budget. Thank God we had never decided to join bank accounts. I drove the entire four-hour drive, smiling every time my phone buzzed angrily in my pocket. The hotel was just as disgusting as the pictures, but I made it work. Jeremy had called me a whopping 20 times by the time I arrived. The range and the multitude of text messages I had was pretty impressive. Everything from apologies to offers to raise the baby together to threatening to choke the life out of me. Jeremy was a real peach. I found a realtor, Robin, who showed me a few houses that were for sale, each more tiny and run down than the last. I was on a budget, but I was also going to be raising a baby. I needed a place with a little bit of room and a lot of safety. That's why when I saw the manor, I knew that was the place for me. Robin didn't even show the house to me. I only saw it when we drove past the street and the for sale sign in the front yard caught my eye. I made her pull the car over. The house was definitely older and neglected, but it was beautiful. Surprisingly, my realtor said it was in my price range, and actually was one of the cheaper places we had seen. "Why didn't you show this one to me?" I asked her, already getting out of the car to approach the house. "This is Marigold Manor. It has a history," she said hesitantly. "To be frank, people have died here. Many people. No one has lived here in decades." I laughed. "Ghost stories were for children." "And how many people do you know who have died here?" Her silence gave me the answer I needed. "Show me the house, please." After some strong convincing, I got her to enter the house to do a proper showing. I fell in love with the house. It was a beautiful manor with beautiful castle-like features that showed through even under the layers of disuse and neglect. Even more than the house, the grounds were what caught my attention. There was a ton of space to run around, even a small pond in the back of the house. I'd have to do a lot of work to get everything looking good again, but I would do what I'd have to. It would be a wonderful house to raise a child in. I'll take it. The sale went through without a hitch. It was only a few weeks before the keys were in my hand. Jeremy still continued to send me nasty messages and death threats. Even when I blocked his number, he found new ways to send me messages. Email, social media sites. new phone numbers. He always found a way. I got so fed up with it that I turned my cell phone off altogether, opting for a landline instead, which I registered under a fake name. I threw the cell phone on my bedside table. On my first night in the house, I saw him. The spirit. I had woken up in the middle of the night, and when I opened my eyes, he was standing there in my room, staring out the window. I could only see him from the back. I screamed in shock as he disappeared in an instant. Like he was never there. The temperature had dropped 10 degrees. I spent the rest of the night shivering under the covers and with all the lights in the house turned on. The room didn't warm up until morning. I didn't see him again for a while, but I knew he wasn't gone. Most nights I had to use additional blankets as I slept. I was proven right when one night I was in the kitchen getting a midnight snack. I was midway through stuffing a pregnancy-craving Twinkie into my mouth when I heard the sounds of light scratching on the back door. I grabbed a knife from the drawer, intending to investigate when I felt the familiar feeling of the temperature dropping. I rounded the corner and there was the man, standing right in front of the back door. I got a good look at him this time. He seemed to be about the same age as me, with a full head of unruly brown hair and shaded black eyes. He was dressed in a suit and wore a hat, something I would have seen on the cover of 1940s fashion magazine. When he saw me, he reached a hand out to me, a finger pointing straight at me. I slashed at him, but my knife going straight through his hand. "Stay away from me!" I shouted and bolted to my room, locking the door behind me. I heard a faint crash from the kitchen, the sound of the back door being kicked in. I scrambled for the cell phone on the bedside table, frantically powering it on. I'm not sure who I'd call, but someone had to be able to help me. As the phone powered on, I started to get the notifications I had missed. All the text messages Jeremy had sent me. "How dare you leave me? Answer me. Are you with somebody? I found you, stupid bitch." "What a fucking ugly house. I knew you had to be with somebody. He can't protect you forever. You die tonight." I had barely finished scrolling when a heavy thud hit my bedroom door. "Open the door, bitch!" I thought the spirit had been out there to get me, but really it was Jeremy. He'd come to finish the job. Oh shit! It wasn't the ghost at all. It was that scumbag of a boyfriend. Like, really, what a piece of shit. The ghost was just trying to help, and she went and sliced his hand off. It's not like she knew, but you know. But guys, I love this story so much. I mean, I would have to, considering my strong reaction to the characters. Well, you heard it too. What do you think? Was it scary enough? Or better question, can you do better? Can you scare the laughter out of me? And believe it or not, there is still more to the story, which means still more for me to react this strongly to. I really hope she is able to escape, but I guess we will just have to get through this boring part to find out. Now for the details. If you want to become a more active part of the guild, just visit the website. One of the more fun features is on the website. What is that, you ask? Maybe you'll just have to visit to find out. One of my favorites is the Easter egg on the email page. Have you found it yet? Even the page is haunted. Oh, wait. You still don't know what the website is to go investigate for yourself. That's easy. It's just the name of the podcast with a .com at the end. That's dimlightanxiety.com. For my job, I am fortunate, for my real job, that is, I am fortunate enough to work closely with this amazing writing teacher. She had a great writing prompt this week, and I couldn't help but steal it so I could share it with you guys. Here's the evidence of my theft. While watching the evening news, the anchor looks straight into the camera and begins screaming before the camera goes black. She said to write the rest of the story, but I say you can use this anywhere in your story or even as inspiration. I really hope someone chooses this writing prompt to draw from because it is so full of potential. Once created, please email or drop into my DMs with a story. All the information to get to either place is on the website, which I just mentioned above. If you guys enjoyed today's episode, please, please give the podcast a like, follow, and or subscribe on any platform you use to listen to today's episode. It really, really helps get the podcast out there and great writers wanting to showcase their brain's creations. A 5-star review also helps with that. Let's also give one final shout out to the author of this week's nightmares. You can find them on Reddit under the username BlueJade01. Such a good writer. I use it. Not her first time to be showcased. After a story like this, I just want to take the time to say, abuse is real. If you are going through something like this, please reach out to a hotline, family member, or a friend. There are some resources out there to help keep you safe. And finally, we made it to the final bit of the story. Will she be able to make it out alive? Will any of them? Well, I guess one of them is already a ghost, but anyway, here it is. The thrilling conclusion. Enjoy, if you dare. He kicked the door again, and this time I heard it splinter and crash into the wall next to me, spraying me in wood shavings, covering my head, and I screamed. I was going to die. Help me. Please, somebody help me. The temperature plummeted. I lifted my face to see that the spirit man had materialized right in front of me, blocking Jeremy's path. A shiver ran down my spine. The man turned to look at me, his eyes gesturing towards Jeremy's hand. My ex had busted in there with a baseball bat. Great. Without warning, the man reached back towards me and grabbed me. The second our hands met, he solidified into a person. The warmth of his palm hot against my cold hand. I almost jerked back in shock. How was this possible? Suddenly, the man lurched forward, lunging straight at Jeremy. Caught off guard, Jeremy stumbled back and dropped the bat. With inhuman speed, the man swung it at Jeremy's head, knocking him out cold. Still holding my hand, he reached down to pick up the cell phone I had dropped in the chaos. He looked at it in confusion for a few seconds before he placed it in my free hand, closing my fingers over the side. He lowered his face to mine, slowly. He whispered something in my ear, and I felt the warmth of his lips pressed them against my cheek. Then all I felt was cold. I call this meeting of the guild with dim light anxiety closed. If you get any ghost kisses during the week, report back. Until then, creep it real. This podcast does not condone any physical harm on yourself or others. These are fictional stories intended only for entertainment.